another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. That is the website, and you can go to it and support this whole project with this show and John Stapmiller's show and everything else, Farron's show. You can support it all by going to republicbroadcasting.org and clicking on the donate button and sending a donation. You can also go to nationalbugle.com and download the Kosher-certified app and get yourself on your way to leading a non-kosher-certified lifestyle. So this is the Wednesday show, and I'm here with Jeremy from Kentucky. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Patrick, great to be on the Patrick and Jeremy show here at RBN.
It is great to be on, and we have a lot to talk about today. What are we starting with?
Well, a fire hose of news, but I wanted to start off by discussing the National Justice Party. And for those that may not be aware, you know, Eric Stryker, who's been on this on Farron show before.
He's been on this show, too.
Rider. He's been on your show several times, too, on National Bugle. But Eric Stryker has a website called national-justice.com, and listeners can go to that. He used to be a writer for the Daily Stormer, and now Eric Stryker is he's been on the rightstuff.biz that we refer to as TRS. But listeners can go to national-justice.com, and you can look up Eric's article on the National Justice Party. There is a speech there given by Mike Enoch, who also has been on this broadcast network. I interviewed Mike for the first time on Farron's show. I believe that was May 4th, 2019. Very good interview. So I just wanted to discuss this uprising, you know, this new political party, and it's brand new, as you mentioned in Tuesday's National Bugle. They haven't, you know, it's not official, but they're taking steps to making it official. So I wanted to discuss, you know, what it is that that third party is going to be about, the timing of the release of the news of it, and where do we go from here, as well as maybe some of the positions of the podcasters on TRS regarding voting for Trump or not voting for Trump. So I want to start off by saying that if you listen to Mike Enoch's speech, it's very good. I agree with everything. I agree that there should be a third political party because the Republicans and the Democrats are not doing us any good. I do have a few concerns. One of them is this, that the push on the rightstuff.biz on TRS is don't vote for Trump. As a matter of fact, some podcasters are saying vote all Democrat. And I understand why they're doing this. That they feel that the collapse of the political parties are essential for a third party to rise up. You have a comment on that before we go any further?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask. Okay, so I know Dr. Duke's been talking about some, I guess, statement from Richard Spencer, who's not a TRS podcaster, but I know Richard Spencer and Mike Enoch were good friends, at least for a while. And Richard Spencer is saying vote straight Democratic ticket. And I know Eric was on David's show earlier this year and was seemed to be proposing not to vote for Trump. I don't think he specifically indicated voting Democrat. But you said a number of the podcasters. Anybody that we should know about?
Not relevant to the audience so much. Mm-hmm. I know on the third rail, they're sort of pushing that way. Mostly it has been Richard Spencer that has said straight Democrat. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you're not voting at all, you're voting for Biden. That's the problem. And so I worry about the divisions in what they call the alternative right, the alt-right, which would be made up of Southern nationalist patriots, white nationalists, American nationalists, CivNats. I mean, you know, all of us together make up the alt-right, and we all, I think we could be accredited to a large part for Trump winning the election in 2016. So, here's my question. I have no problem with the National Justice Party. I'm fully on board with Mike Enoch's speech. He had said some good stuff. What I'm wondering is that how can you develop an effective third party, which would be considered totally white nationalist? As a matter of fact, he said those words in the speech several times. How can you foster the development of a third party in a Biden-Harris presidency? That's my question and my concern. I would think that you could foster a development of this party much better if Trump were reelected. You see, and I want to go back to some history here. Remember Charlottesville?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If Hillary Clinton would have been in power and Charlottesville happened, how would it have been handled? Well, you know, Trump said there were good people on both sides. I would argue that there was only good people on the alt-right side, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, I mean, there were good but foolish people, good but, you know, well-intentioned but mistaken people on the other side. It's...
Well, and how would Hillary have handled that, though? Charlottesville. She would have rolled out an executive order making white nationalism and white nationalists a terrorist organization. And guess what? Anybody to the right of her, even listeners to RBN who would consider themselves American patriots and civic nationalists, they would be labeled as white nationalists. And it's quite possible the FBI could have rounded you up simply for that political belief. Mm. White nationalism is a political belief. It is not a terrorist movement. You know, the alt-right in Charlottesville didn't do any violence. They were defending themselves against violence done by the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter. You just look at what they're doing, you know, look at what the BLM and the Antifa are doing in the cities of America now. You know, that's the kind of violence that the alt-right was up against in Charlottesville in August of 2017. But Clinton would have rolled out an executive order and probably would have had legislation as well that she would have approved, vowing to round up, you know, anybody who would be labeled white nationalist.
So Eric would say, and said things like this on David's show, you know, for instance, regarding what happened with Charlottesville. Well, we know what happened in the Trump presidency, and, you know, Fields was thrown in jail forever, and Jacob Goodwin is in jail for 8 years. Lots of people are in jail. And we've been deplatformed. All of these things are happening. They're already happening. They're already happening. That's what he kept saying. And, you know, we can speculate as to what Hillary... And I agree 100% with you. I think had Hillary been president, the pressure and attacks it would be under would be that much worse. Because who's really doing it? Is it Trump who's really doing it? Or is it all of the Hillary people, the swamp people, the permanent Washington? It was all for Hillary. I mean, you look at the votes from... I mean, you can look at the votes from Washington, D.C. Of course, Washington, D.C. is it used to be about three-fourths black. It's probably about half black now. But even so, Trump only got... what, like 4 or 5% of the vote in Washington, D.C. You look at surrounding counties like Arlington, which is full of, you know, federal workers plus government contractors and people dependent on them, and it was well over, I'm pretty sure it was well over 90% voting for Hillary. So, yeah, all this stuff happened to us under Trump. And Trump has done a horrible job. He appointed people to his administration who didn't vote for him, at least not in the primaries. I mean, obviously, you know, Nikki Haley, who's now being highlighted once again at the RNC, she had campaigned against him with Marco Rubio and probably Ted Cruz after that. But even people who probably didn't vote for him in the general election, did Rod Rosenstein vote for Trump? I can be pretty sure he didn't. So he's been extremely inept, but at least he's occupying the White House. And the point I try to make is, let's just say you're in the middle of a fight or something, and there's a loose gun on the floor. Would you rather that gun be in the hands of somebody who has no idea how to operate it, or in the hands of somebody who's your enemy who does know how to operate it? And to me, that person who doesn't know how to operate it and is holding on to it is Trump. So it's not being used on our behalf, but at least a lot of those powers of the presidency aren't being directed against us, which could be.
That's exactly the point I was making, is what are the results of Charlottesville? Well, you had a congressional, they denounced white nationalism, basically, is all it was. There was no legislation saying that you could come after people who are white nationalists for their political beliefs. What you did have was a reaction of corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
The corporation seized the domain of the Daily Stormer. They temporarily seized the domain of Stormfront, and, you know, Don Black got it back because he's a badass. But, you know, you had corporate America deplatforming people on the right. First it was alt-right, and then it was just regular civic nationalist conservatives that were deplatformed. So the government, there was no legislation where they could drag you out of your house for political beliefs. And my argument is that with Hillary in office, there would have been.
Okay, so that's a good point. So what we've been experiencing, the deplatforming and the attacks we've been experiencing, have largely been from corporate America, more so than from the government, more so than from the Justice Department. There's been some targeting from the Justice Department, but most of what we've faced has been from corporate America. And you're making the point that had Hillary been president, and if Kamala winds up being president, or Joe Biden, or whatever, the powers of the government itself could be directed at us. And you also talk about legislation, which, you know, so there's the executive branch, which can do a lot of things, but then there's also Congress, which can pass new laws, and, you know, either one of them could wind up defining white nationalism as some sort of domestic terrorism. They could define the National Justice Party as a terrorist organization.
And that's exactly where
maybe
I was going.
Maybe based directly on a photograph of Eric Stryker wearing a helmet pushing against a policeman.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going with all of this discussion. You know, in Charlottesville, yes, you had James Fields sentenced to over 400 years in prison. Well, he was in a vehicle that struck people. And it was because he was trying to get away from mostly peaceful protesters who were breaking his window down, and a mostly peaceful Antifa professor. He was with the Redneck Revolt, I think.
Yeah, the Redneck Revolt. Occupying the park two blocks up the street, and who went on social media posting a photograph of him holding his AR-15 and saying the perverse pleasure he derived from knowing that, you know, just moments before the, we call it an accident, because that's what it was, he had had, what was the term he used? He didn't use the term threatened. He used, I don't know, I forgot what the term he used, but, you know, pointed it at Fields and made him flee.
Yeah, I mean, this kid's got weapons pointed at him, or a weapon, and he has people breaking.
And he's got, he had a whole gang, and he wasn't the only one with the AR-15.
The kid gunned it. He accidentally hit some fat girl that died of a heart attack, probably. And, you know, he was put in jail. There was a physical altercation there. There was a vehicle involved, and the law came in without, I mean, this wasn't Trump. This was not the federal government that came in. And then the same thing with Jacob Goodwin. You know, he was trying to defend an elderly white gentleman who was hit in the head with a maglite by DeAndre Harris and the group of young white men who, you know, fought DeAndre Harris to defend this elderly white man. There was a fight involved. Now the police can come in, they can make charges. You got two people.
Yeah, you know, and those that wasn't in federal court, which of course the president doesn't control federal court anyway, but those that was in, I guess, Virginia Commonwealth Court.
Exactly, and what did you get out of the federal response? A House resolution condemning white nationalism.
Boom.
It had no teeth. But what I'm proposing to you is that if Hillary was in charge, you would have legislation or an executive order, you know, that would make everybody that went to Charlottesville, instead of just losing their jobs and getting deplatformed from social media, they could be facing, you know, the feds could kick in their doors and arrest them. That's what I'm saying could have happened. And to your point that, you know, if Harris and Biden win the presidency in November and there's a bunch of people's names who support the National Justice Party, if there is legislation, you know, saying white nationalists are terrorists, then anybody whose name is on that National Justice Party could be arrested. And I'm not saying that is the intent of TRS whatsoever. What I'm saying is that that could very well happen if Harris and Biden win. So it would be more beneficial to the National Justice Party to build their political party in a Trump presidency. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've been saying recently, vote straight Republican, which I've never done in my entire life. I'm pretty sure I've never voted for a Republican Senate candidate. And maybe 40 years ago, I voted for a Republican in a Republican primary for the House of Representatives. I've certainly never voted straight Republican. I almost always will write in or vote third party, and occasionally vote Democrat if I think the person's decent. But this time, you know, I guess if you're in a safe House seat, it really doesn't matter. But if you're in any, like, I remember, was it, what, 4 years ago, just not being able to vote for the Republican Senate candidate just because I couldn't, because I thought, you know, because who in the, I mean, you're out in Kentucky, you've got Rand Paul, but who else is in the Republican Party in the Senate is worth voting for? But this time, if for no other reason than because of the things I've been discussing with the, you know, the Electoral College and how the Electoral College votes are counted and what happens if nobody gets a majority, just to make sure that Trump and Mike Pence get into office, you know, 'cause Mike Pence is the person who is running against Kamala. I think we got to vote straight Republican, and I despise most of these people. And we're going to be talking about some Republicans later in the show, individuals who are particularly reprehensible. But I just don't. In order to create a safe environment for us, it won't be a safe environment, but a less dangerous environment for us, where we can try to do the things we need to do, I think it has to be under a Trump presidency, and if at all possible, Republican control of one or both of the houses of Congress. So we're coming up on the break in just a minute, but what are we moving towards now?
Well, let me just play TRS advocate. I mean, we see this, voting Republican could foster that new National Justice Party. But TRS is worried that the people will be placated with Trump still in office.
All right, well, let's talk about that on the other side.
There was a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Okay, so we are back and we're talking about the new National Justice Party being launched by the people at the TRS network. And so,
yeah, and
take it away.
I was just we think that that political party, this new party, could be fostered much better with 4 years of a Trump presidency where it wouldn't be targeted by legislation. But the TRS people see it as, well, the Trumpsters, the MAGAPEDs, they're not going to come to our party unless the system totally collapses. And that's their, I think that's their angle. Your thoughts on that?
So, unless things totally collapse, well, I mean, you've had political realignment in this country. You've only once, well, I shouldn't say only once, I guess you have, I mean, the last time you had a political realignment that included a new major party was, just around the time, just prior to the Civil War, when the Republican Party had its origin. The Republican Party starts in 1854, and it gets elements, basically anti-slavery elements of the Whig Party, and I guess some from the Democratic Party as well. So you had this realignment of parties. The Whig Party collapsed, and there were some other third parties, minor parties like the Free Soil Party and the Liberty Party. There's the American Know-Nothing Party, which was an anti-immigration party, and these were all parties from the like late 1840s and early 1850s, and then so elements of the Democrats and the Whigs and these third parties coalesced into the Republican Party, and you've had this stable two-party system since then. You know, before then you had some realignments. You had the collapse of the Federalist Party after the assassination of. It took a few years, but after the assassination of Alexander Hamilton, I shouldn't say assassination, after he died, after Aaron Burr killed him in a duel, and then you had a period of time where you basically had a one-party system, where you only had the Democratic Republicans, and then they fractured in the mid-1820s, with the Jacksonian wing of the party becoming the modern Democratic Party, and then the non-Jacksonian wing becoming the Whigs. But so you've only had this, we've had this stable two-party system for over 150 years, for like 165 years, I guess. But even within that framework, you have had political realignment, and the most significant political realignment of my lifetime would have been happening in the 1960s and 1970s, when the Southern Democrat, the Southern wing of the Democratic Party, which were the old segregationists, where they moved from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party. And so people like Strom Thurmond had been a Democrat at the start of his career, and he moved to be a Republican. A lot of individuals actually switched parties, but certainly voters switched parties. So they went from, you know, the solid South was the solid South Democratic, it was solid for the Democrats, and then it became solid for the Republicans. Now, of course, through demographic changes, it's some places like Georgia are up for grabs again, even North Carolina up for grabs again. But so you've had realignment. That's, I guess, what they're pursuing is a situation where there could be realignment. Of course, right now, when you look at the rhetoric that they use, and when I say rhetoric, I don't mean so much the substance, but the style. The style that they use on their own shows, and maybe they don't foresee this for their political party so much, but it's not majoritarian rhetorical style when they're, you know, throwing around N-words everywhere, and that's not a... Maybe some of their positions, if people really think about them, would have a lot of broader appeal. I don't know.
Well, yeah, the positions laid out in Mike's speech that you can find on National Justice, the positions are favorable to the mainstream America. You know, we don't want mass immigration of the third world. We don't want our workers replaced. We don't want our jobs outsourced. We don't want trannies reading to our children and our children forced into, you know, transvestite LGBTQ positions. We don't want that. The majority of Americans don't want that. And the Donald Trump election was evidence of that. So that's actually their positions, minus all of their podcast antics, their positions are very popular. And that's why, you know, they're being side-streamed. But I guess what I'm trying to say is there was another major realignment in 2016. And all of the neocon Republicans, you know, went and voted for Hillary. Even the Bushes went for Hillary.
And yeah, that's a good point.
Further from there.
Okay, well, we are up on the next break, so let's come back and discuss this.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We are back, and, you know, we've been talking about the National Justice Party and the, realignment, political realignment that we've had in America. You suggested 2016, where we saw a lot of neocons who had been in the Republican Party move over to the Democratic Party because Hillary is neocon. And, in fact, I don't know if you saw it, but a week ago or so on Tucker's show, he had on the progressive podcaster Jimmy Dore, and they had a broad agreement between them, and one of them was Tucker was saying good luck with all of these neocons who are jumping to your party, and Jimmy Dore was kind of like, oh brother. You know, they agreeing, but so you've got that. One last point though is, you know, these positions that you outlined that would be the, you know, core positions of the National Justice Party, aren't they these the core positions of the American Freedom Party? You know, I know the American Freedom Party is more boomer tier, I guess you would say. Kevin McDonald was one of the organizers, and they've run candidates. What would the National Justice Party? Why do they think that they might make more progress than the American Freedom Party, which really didn't make any electoral progress at all? I don't know how many ballots they ever got on, and if their candidate really got any significant votes. Do they think that they are going to be in a better position to petition and get on the ballot? And because before they become a major party, they've got to become a minor party. You've also you got the Constitution Party, which is probably pretty similar. It's maybe a little less. It's not explicitly pro-white, but it is. It's pretty paleo-conservative. You know, Mark Dankoff was its standard bearer in the Senate race in Delaware in 2000. So first question, and then Jeff Flake. What about him?
Before we get to Flake, the way the National Justice Party would distinguish itself from other third parties is that it does advocate for white
which rights. The American Freedom Party did. They talked about the founding stock of the country.
And they were labeled white supremacists, yeah. The National Justice Party articulates that a lot better, and as whites are seeing BLM and, you know, a lot of black and white rioters, you know, burning down American cities, and National Justice thinks that with the collapse of the political system that we see, the two-party system, that they would attract way more white voters by being more explicit about white rights,
mm-hmm.
rather than implicit,
mm-hmm.
and that's what they're counting on. They're counting on that collapse and the fact that they'll draw a lot of whites over to them. Because look, with Trump in office, the riots are going to keep going. But if Kabbalah Harretz and Slow Joe win the election, when they want to put the riots down, they will put them down. Because the system, the state, will put down these riots when it gets ready to. The only reason it doesn't put these riots down is because it doesn't want to.
Because it doesn't want to, and would... And, I mean, I think it's kind of an open question. What would happen with the riots under... Slow Joe and the Ho. Would they want to ride on them? Would they want to use them? Would they continue to be useful for them after the inauguration?
Absolutely not, because these rioters are useless idiots. They are eggs to be broken, just as Lenin stated 100 years ago. And I think under Biden and Kamala Harris, they would put these riots down, and they would make the distinction. They would say, look, people of color, we're putting down the violent rioters. We're not putting down the peaceful protesters. They would draw that distinction.
So I wonder,
so
I mean...
Trump in office...
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Yeah. I would just say with Trump in office, the riots would keep going. And so with Trump in the next 4 years, the National Justice Party could come in and say, look, here's the riots. They're keeping on going. And, you know, Trump's in office and he's not doing anything. We can help. I think that's their position.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what would happen with the riots. You know, let's just say Trump's reelected. Does it take the wind out of their sails? Who knows? Maybe that's just wishful thinking. But with Harris and Biden in office, there's two ways I see the riots continuing. One is if... they think it's still useful for them in one way or another. And the other is that it's possible that, you know, you might light a controlled... You might light a fire to, you know, you think it's a controlled fire for whatever reason, and it gets out of control. And I don't think the rioters are... this is necessarily being orchestrated by the DNC. I don't think it is. I think it's being orchestrated by non-governmental sources. And so I don't know what will happen with them. And, you know, the other thing is, even if the riots do get put down by the Democrats, you know, under the logic that you're talking about, maybe it's because the Democrats are going to pursue the objectives of the riots using governmental means, which could be, you know, locking up people, locking up the wrong people, criminalizing all sorts of... you know, through new legislation criminalizing us one way or another, or just through, I mean, there's all sorts of laws on the books that can be used pretty much targeting everybody. I mean, the tax law always has been, and who's paying taxes, all sorts of things can, you know, and mask laws. Yeah, I guess mask laws. Okay, but now where are we going? How about Jeff Flake?
Speaking of political realignment, the flaky bastard, Jeff Flake, he's joining over two dozen former GOP members of Congress to launch a Republicans for Biden movement.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is happening. And this is in a Fox News article that I sent you. Fox News under Jeff Flake. Just more than a dozen former Republican members of Congress threw support behind a Republicans for Biden effort being launched Monday, being 2 days ago, by the Democratic presidential nominee's campaign to engage potential GOP supporters this November. So here we have even more realignment, and we know that, you know, Jeff Flake, being the flaky bastard that he is, has always been an anti-Trumper. He's been anti-Trump campaign platform. He is against everything that we, the alt-right, are for. And he's pulling Republicans over to support Biden. And this is even further into the political realignment than the neocons. A lot of the neocons have left. Some of them have stayed to support Trump and his platform. And now, you know, the battle lines are being drawn. What do you make of this?
So, and then John Kasich, who is a former member of Congress and former governor of Ohio, and former, I guess, two-time Republican presidential candidate, because I think he was a candidate back in 2000 or something. Didn't he speak at the Democratic convention, their virtual convention? So
yeah, I believe.
Yeah, and it was nice to have Flake leave Congress and not to have to look at his twisted face anymore. But yeah, there it was again. But then, of course, you got the Republican National Convention. You got Nikki Haley up there, and Nikki Haley is basically a never Trumper. What the heck is she doing at that convention? So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you know what we're leading to, as you've pointed out, is that this election is going to be contentious, and I don't mean just like political contention. I mean like there's going to be riots in the streets, no matter what happens, and the election is going to be questioned no matter who supposedly wins, and I think we're being baited here. I think that the American people, the white, predominantly white, you know, patriots of America, the Trump supporters, are being baited for a conflict in the streets that could reach its pinnacle the week of election in November, that first week. I think what they want to do is, with all of these BLM riots and the police standing down, they want conservatives to come out in the streets armed and engage these rioters,
mm-hmm,
as the fight is being brought to their cities and towns. And once that engagement happens, there's going to be violence, there's going to be, God forbid, killing. And once that happens, then that will give government power to legislate what, you know, to put legislation forth, what, you know, these white nationalists are violent, they're terrible people, they're terrorists, and they could come and crack down on us.
So
in a sinister.
Could it be called an insurrection? Yeah, that's the thing. So, like, there's all of this violence from Antifa and Black Lives Matter, but if you get the whites walking around with AR-15s, at that point, is it called an insurrection? And are the insurrectors the whites with the AR-15s? That's the question.
Yeah, and Andrew England covers this in a Stormer article that I sent titled "Citizen Defense." AR-15 retards from Facebook are out in Konisha. So this is already happening. Is that, you know, well-meaning white patriots are arming up and going out in the streets to try to quell this, what do you call it, violence, revolutionary violence by BLM in the streets. And I'll just read the first paragraph of this article. As is the normal procedure, the cops are completely refusing to get involved with the riots in Konisha. Kenosha. Instead, allowing the blacks and Antifa to completely destroy the entire city. Understandably, there are citizens who want to go out and try to defend people and property. But at what cost? According to journalist Julio Rosas, blacks and Antifa were attempting to set another car lot on fire and were stopped by armed citizens with AR-15s. So, the Stormer article goes on to cite Andy Ngo and his coverage of all of these riots. And the point of the article is that these white people going out with these white patriots, these American patriots going out fully armed in the streets, they don't have the backing of anybody. Mm-hmm. And they could very easily be arrested, and they could have legislation put forth saying that these white people are white nationalist terrorists. I think that's where this is all heading. I think we're going to see this more, and it's going to reach its crescendo on election week.
Yeah, I mean, so I've always been advising people not to go out armed. And, you know, I was... Maybe I put up, when I was talking about this earlier in the year, because you had some pro-Second Amendment rallies, I guess, last year. And I was like, well, okay, I guess you have a pro-Second Amendment rally. I didn't like the idea of it. I don't like the optics of it. But pro-Second Amendment rally, and people were doing the open carry, you know, and, like, I don't know. And I know our people are very pro-Second Amendment. But that has been used...
Think about this.
Yeah.
Think real quick, and then I want you to finish making your point. Think about the nightclub in Florida, the gay nightclub that was attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the Vegas concert,
mm-hmm.
where I got, you know, shot into the crowd. Think about the young white man that shot up the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about...
Well, middle-aged white man, actually. I think he was well into his 40s.
Think about Quentin Tarrant. Who shot up, you know, the mosque.
In New Zealand.
What country was that in?
That was in New Zealand. Christchurch, New Zealand. New Zealand, yeah.
Christchurch in New Zealand. Think about all of these things in the past that they could draw on. And even Dylann Roof, for crying out loud. They could say, look at the pattern, look at the trend, and now you got these white people out in the street with guns wanting to gun down brown people.
Mm-hmm.
That's now, the narrative.
Of course, Orlando, wasn't the Orlando shooting like an Afghan guy? He was Middle Eastern origin who did the shooting, I believe. And of course,
he was.
The guy in Las Vegas was white, but he shot up a like white country music festival. But yeah, I mean, they've already put forward this meme that mass shootings are a white thing, which they're not. You know, if you look at the statistics.
Right, you're exactly right. But they'll wrap it all into this narrative. They'll use all of this. And it can actually be an excuse for Kamala Harris, President Harris, to come in and confiscate weapons. And look at these deadly, you know, white nationalist terrorists. We need to take all the weapons. So we don't have these things happen again. And, you know, in regards to the Vegas shooter, he had some mental issues, as well as the, what's the young kid? He was half Jewish. He shot up a school in Florida.
Right.
He had mental issues. And so you got the red flag laws, which could say, well, people with mental issues need to have their guns confiscated. Well, maybe people who think that we should be a predominantly white country are mental. That's where it could go. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, how much of a stretch would it be for the American Psychiatric Association, or whatever they're called? I mean, they took homosexuality and things like that off of their list of mental illnesses. How hard would it be for them to put white nationalism on their list, especially after you've had what the whole Frankfurt School project of... and I guess psychoanalysis as well, describing, you know, any kind of white feelings of white group identity as being pathological, as being some sort of pathology. So we only got a minute or so on this in this segment, and then that last segment, we've got more stuff on the our list here.
Yep.
What do you want to do?
I just want to add, mm-hmm. before we go on, maybe after the break we can cover Senator Scott, but I just want to add to the listeners, you may not consider yourself a white nationalist, but everybody that listens to RBN, even if you don't consider yourself racist, they will label you white nationalist, and they will come after your guns. And
yes.
I think that is the end.
Yeah, I mean, when they basically label everybody who goes to Stormfront as white nationalist and as basically a terrorist because some Zionist guy who shot up a resort island in Norway, Andre Breivik, had made 3 posts on Stormfront, which weren't well received. But that meant he was a Stormfronter, and then Stormfront then thus becomes responsible for all of this terrorism. Okay, we'll be right back after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
And we are back. So we have this Senator Scott from South Carolina. He's a black Republican. What the heck's he talking about?
Well, he was one of the last speakers on the Monday night virtual Republican convention. And he's advocating voting by mail. This is on a USA Today article. He's saying that voting by mail will work just fine. And he dismisses Trump's fears of the stolen election. I can imagine, there's a video to this, you can look it up, but you can just hear this guy talking about, yo man, Donald Trump be against the mail-in vote, and gee, mail-in voting is efficiency and patriotic, and it will protect us from the COVID, If you a conservative and you still be hating on mail-in voting, you better be axing somebody.
Yeah, and, you know, well,
why would any Republican who's for Donald Trump advocate mail-in voting? That's my thing.
Well, so that's the thing. You get Senator Scott, and he can be the Republicans, you know, their black friend. But what was his role in Charlottesville when Trump said there were good people on both sides? He had a big freak out, and he, I guess, had a meeting with Trump, and then Trump had to back down, and then I guess Trump, after having backed down, thought better of it again and went back to his original position. But that's the thing. So Scott, you know, he's elected. He's got an R by his name, but he's got an R by his name, but... and, you know, none of these Republican, you can say, are, you know, Rhino Republican in name only, but what's a Republican name even worth? But it's just, you know, I guess Jared Kushner's happy to have him, but what good is it to have token blacks, then the token blacks get to drag you around by the nose?
Well, I mean, that's just contributing to the chaos that they bring this November. That's why they want the mail-in voting. They want chaos. They want a presidential election that they can question and, you know, send through the ringer. And for this guy to advocate that, I mean, he's not, you know, he's on the wrong side.
Yeah, he's on the wrong
side.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people who listen to this network worry about rigged elections. One thing about the American, especially the presidential election, is it's so incredibly decentralized. So all the states, you know, they have their own voting systems, they have their own machinery, and, you know, a lot of states might use machines from Diebold or from this company or that company, but they use a lot of different machines, and often within a state, different counties are using different machines and different types of ballots. But, you know, even if you have people who are diabolical and have rigged systems, it has to be done on a state-by-state basis. So you could have maybe diabolical people who are willing to rig the vote in California, but no matter how many people vote in California, it doesn't impact the you know, the presidential election in Kentucky or Delaware or anywhere else. So you've got these 50, including District of Columbia, 51 different systems. So anyway, it's easier said than done. But we're right up at the end of the show, Jeremy. Do you have any last thoughts?
We're in a very interesting year, and like I said, I think the patriots, who are a lot, probably mostly white, are being baited into fighting against these Black Lives Matter riots. Now, it's one thing to defend your home, but do not take weapons and go out into the street right now, because rioters in the street, they have the support of the state. The riots that are happening, you know, these are not revolutionaries. This is a victory lap.
Mm-hmm.
The people who country think that they're in charge and think that they can get away with this. And if you arm yourself and go out into the street on the offensive, then, you know, you're going to be thrown under the bus. Defend your home, defend your small town, but don't arm yourself and go into the street. That's what I want to put out there.
Well, that's very well said. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me, Jeremy, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National People Radio. Jeremy?
Stay classy, Arvin.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.